Amen. Today we're talking about Nehemiah.
That's how I felt.
But I had a good time in St. Louis, even had an opportunity to take two of our youth out to dinner. Daniel Jordan took him out to dinner on, did you know about that? All right. Took him out, him and Allison Cobb took them out to dinner on Wednesday evening, and we had a good time, and he took me to one of Daniel's favorite places, a place called Salt and Smoke. And that's exactly what the food tastes like. But it was very good. It was very good food, but I always like to see our youth once they grow up and see Daniel is doing so well in that great city of St. Louis. And he sends his greetings to all. Amen. We're coming from Nehemiah today. Nehemiah was sent to build the wall around Jerusalem, to repair the wall around Jerusalem. Yeah. Just to recap, the children of Israel, due to their disobedience to God, were sent into captivity by the Babylonian Empire. For 70 years, they were in captivity. And during that 70 years, the power of leadership in the world changed from Babylon to Persia. So now they're under Persian rule. And 70 years later, they start to release people to go back to Jerusalem. Ezra is in the first wave, and he goes and rebuilds the temple. But the problem is, the wall around Jerusalem is in disarray. It has been neglected for 70 years. Now, the wall is needed for protection of the people. So that was a burden on Nehemiah's heart. So he asked the king if he could have permission to go rebuild the wall, to close the holes in the wall of Jerusalem. The king says, yes, you can. Now, this was a good thing for the people of Judah. The only problem was not everybody was happy about it. Now, whenever we do something great, whenever we endeavor to do anything at all positive, there is always going to be somebody who has a problem with it. There's going to be somebody who does not like you. There's somebody who's going to be jealous of you because you're trying to do something good. So today we're going to look at three characteristics of the enemy that comes from Nehemiah chapter 6. Amen? Let us pray. Father, we thank you.
Thank you, Lord.
We thank you, Lord, for once again allowing us to come into the house of the Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, I thank you for safe journey over this week, Father. And I pray that at this moment, Lord, that you will just allow me to share your word to these, your people, in your own way.
Yes.
This prayer we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Characteristics of the enemy. Now, during this rebuilding process, again, Nehemiah had some opposition. And it starts off with sharing the vision for rebuilding the wall. If we go back to chapter 2 of Nehemiah, we can look at that. And after Nehemiah shared his plans in verse 19, there's three individuals that were, he knew, going to give him problems.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But when Sanballat, the Horonite, and Tobiah, the Ammonite official, and Geshem, the Arab, heard of it, they laughed at us.
Mm-hmm.
And what? They despised us and said, what is this thing that you are doing? Will you rebel against the king? You see, what they thought that he was going to do was trying to set up his own kingdom. You see, they were still a property of Persia. Nehemiah was just allowed to go back and rebuild the wall, but some had the perception that he was setting a new kingdom up for himself so they could break ties with Persia. Now, we know that that was not the truth. But you know how the message goes. And people will oppose you. They were opposed by the three individuals who mocked them in chapter 2. And chapter 4, they tried to come against them again. Now we're at chapter 6, and they are progressing with the wall. The wall is almost complete. And in chapter 6, the first verse, it says, "Now it happened when these same individuals, Sanballat, Tobiah, and Geshem, the Arab, and the rest of our enemies heard that I had rebuilt the wall and that there were no breaks left in it, though at that time I had not hung the doors in the gates." So here's what happened. They had rebuilt the wall of a job that they thought could not be done. The wall's about to be restored around the great city of Jerusalem. So these enemies of Nehemiah, they heard that the wall had been rebuilt, that all that was left to do was to hang the doors on the gate. All that was left to do, they had the punch list, they had plugged up the holes, they had repaired the breaches, they had done everything and it was looking good. And the last part was to hang the doors on the gate. And in verse 2, "Then Sanballat and Geshem sent to me, saying, come, let us meet together among the villages in the plain of Ona. But they thought to do me harm." Now here's what's happening. These two individuals sent word to Nehemiah, said, "Let's come and let's meet in this other area. Let's meet somewhere else." This place was 7 miles from the west side of Jerusalem. It was a neutral area. They said, "We know we've mocked you in the past, but now we want to make peace with you. So meet us outside." Now, the number one trick of the devil, of the enemy, is to lure you away from your safety zone. That's the first point. They will try to lure you away from your safety zone, take you away from what you value and what you cherish. So they said, "Meet us here," but they thought to do me harm. They sought to harm Nehemiah, and he was able to discern their evil intent. You know, that's something else. Once we have a good relationship with the Lord, we can discern certain things. We can discern the intent of the heart versus the words that come out of the mouth. They might have sounded all good. "Come now, we see you've done a great job, Nehemiah. We know we mocked you earlier. We know that we teased you earlier. We know that we threatened you earlier. But now let us make peace. Let us go to this other place. We got a place where we can sit down in neutral territory. And let us iron out our differences." But you know, the Satan's job description is to steal, kill, and destroy. And he will take you away from your safety zone in order to do that. Don't let the enemy take you away from what you know to be your safe area. You know, I was watching the NBA Finals, the Warriors against the Cavaliers, earlier this month, and I noticed something interesting. The first two games were played in Oakland, which was the home of the Warriors, and the Warriors won those two games. After the second game, I heard an announcer saying, "But now they have to go to the home of the Cavaliers." Game 3 was going to be in Cleveland. And what he was saying was, if we take the Warriors away from their home, it might be a different situation. Because the Cavaliers will have their home field advantage. Well, if you follow sports, you know that didn't work in Game 3. Because the Warriors won again. But in Game 4, it did work. And the Cleveland Cavaliers won, and now it was Warriors 3 and Cleveland 1. But here where the problem lay, they had to go back to Oakland. They had to go back to the Warriors' home, and that would give them a home field advantage. You see, my brothers and sisters, what I'm saying is that's symbolic. If they couldn't get Nehemiah to come to where they were, they tried to create an area to come to where they would have a home field advantage. We take him away from his lodging. We take him away from his men. We take him away from his resources, and we get him somewhere else, and we can whip up on him like we want to. It didn't work when he was in Jerusalem. Let us get him away from Jerusalem. Let us even the playing field, and we just might be able to do something against him. But Nehemiah discerned what they were trying to do. He knew the trick of the devil. Wait a minute now. If you're going to talk to me, come to my house and talk to me. No, I'm not going someplace you recommend, because that's someplace I might never have been before. I don't know where I'm going. It will probably be an ambush. No, I will not do it. Look at verse 3. So I sent messengers to them saying, I am doing a great work so that I cannot come down. Why should the work cease while I leave and go down to you? That's something else about Nehemiah. He was very dedicated to his priorities. You know, the priority for him was to rebuild that wall. And he was not going to let anything change him. He was not going to let anything take away from what he was doing. You know, we got some wishy-washy folks at times that we are carried away by every wind of doctrine of anybody that come by. We can be committed to something, but if something better comes along, I'm going to do that. We live in a generation now where our word is no longer as valuable as it used to be. If we say we're going to do something, and when we're going to do it, we don't do it because something else came around. But Nehemiah was very dedicated to the task at hand. He was not going to let anything change him. But look at verse 4. Here's something else about the enemy. But they sent me this message 4 times. And I answered them in the same manner. The enemy will be persistent. The enemy will not take no for an answer. You know, in my younger days, I used to have friends who would ask young ladies out on a date. And it was obvious to me that the young lady was not interested. But they would keep on asking as if the mind was going to be changed just by being persistent. But these young ladies were persistent in saying no. That's kind of how Nehemiah is. Nehemiah is persistent. He knows that the enemy is going to come against him. He knows that these folks have ill intent. But they keep on sending messages 4 times. And he answered them the same way. Now, if the enemy cannot take you away from your safety zone, the enemy just might, this is point number 2, the enemy just might lie about you with false charges. The enemy will lie about you, take you away from your safety zone. The enemy will lie on you. Look at verse 5. Then Sanballat sent his servant to me as before the 5th time with an open letter in his hands. Now, I don't know the significance of why the letter was open this time, but it was an open letter in his hand. Maybe the letter was open because he wanted the messenger to read it and start spreading rumors about Nehemiah. Because here is what it said. And it was written, it is reported among the nations that Gershom says that you and the Jews plan to revel. Therefore, according to these rumors, you are rebuilding the wall that you may be their king. And you have also appointed prophets to proclaim concerning you at Jerusalem, saying, there is a king in Judah. Now these matters will be reported to the king. So come, therefore, let us consult together. So here's what they're trying to get him out by lying on him now. By getting him out by lying on him and by having the open letter, it could be read by others. The rumors could be spread. It could destroy the reputation of Nehemiah. The enemy was trying to plant seeds of discord among the Jews in Jerusalem. And it is written and reported among the nations that so-and-so said that you plan to lead a rebellion, is what he's saying. Therefore, you are rebuilding the wall. The reason you are rebuilding the wall, it is not because you want to see your people safe. It is not because you want to see your people live in comfort, but it is because you are getting ready to tell the king of Persia goodbye, and we have our own territory, and I am now the king. And not only that, but rumors are saying that you have appointed prophets to even proclaim you king of Judah. So before these rumors get to the king of Persia, I suggest we meet. I suggest we consult with one another. I suggest what symbolic is saying that I couldn't get you out one way. Maybe I can get you out if I destroy your reputation. Maybe I can get you out if I cause discord among your people. Maybe I can get you out because you're afraid that a bad rumor might get back to the king of Persia. So in Nehemiah 6:8, he says, "Then I sent to him saying, no such thing as you say are being done, but you invent them in your own heart." What he's saying is that this is a figment of your imagination. This is you dreaming of something, of a way to get me outside of the walls, to get me away from home. Not just get outside the walls, but meet somewhere 7 miles away. Now, we got to remember, back in those days, 7 miles was a long way. You know, we can get in the car and drive 7 miles in 7 minutes. But 7 miles back then was a half-day journey. So it wasn't just a notion, you know, something you did lightly. So what did he do? He defended himself by saying this is a lie. He defended himself, and he also ignored the lies and kept on working. So when they try to lie on you, ignore the lies and keep on doing what you're doing. Amen? Verse 9. For they all were trying to make us afraid, saying their hands will be weakened in the work and it will not be done. Now, therefore, O God, strengthen my hands. Nehemiah knew what was going on. Figured out by sending that open letter, causing discord and confusion among the people. Yeah. The people will be afraid and their hands will cease to work. They will cease to show up for work on time. They will find excuses for not hanging the doors on the walls of the gates. Now, mind you, in a city like this, there were many gates. There was not just like one gate, but there were gates all around the city. And all of those gates needed to have doors that could be secured. So it was discord being sowed throughout the camp. And Nehemiah says, now, therefore, look who he turns to. Oh, God, strengthen my hands. Where do we turn to when they lie on us? Where do we turn when they try to take us out of our safety zone? Where do we turn, my brothers and sisters? And not only that, we're not done yet. We got one more point. Let's look at verse 10. Afterwards, I came to the house of Shemaiah, the son of Delaiah, and the son of Methabu, who was a secret informer. And he said, let us meet together in the house of God within the temple. Let us close the doors of the temple, for they are coming to kill you. Indeed, at night they will come to kill you. Now, the first two points related to opposition from the outside. This one focused on opposition from the inside. So this is a person that he knew quite well. This Shemaiah. Shemaiah was a person he knew real well. And he came to him and said, let us meet in the house of the God within the temple, because that they're trying to kill you. They're trying to kill you. And I want you to find some place safe to hide within the temple of God. Now, there was only one problem with that. Actually, there are several, but I'm going to highlight one problem with this reasoning. First of all, only the priests could enter this part of the temple. See, Nehemiah could go in the temple area, but he could not go into the inner temple. That was reserved for the priest. And his friend Shemaiah knew this, but he's still saying, let us go within there and that you will find your safety zone in that, and Shembolic will not be able to contact you. In 2 Chronicles chapter 26, King Uzziah was stricken with leprosy, with leprosy after lighting incense in this part of the temple. So you see, you don't mess with this part of the temple unless you are anointed and appointed. And see, Nehemiah knew this. Look what Nehemiah said in verse 11. Should such a man as I flee? And who is there such as I who would go into the temple to save his life? I will not go in. He says, should a man like me who puts their trust in God flee at this time? Should a man like me be a coward and bow down to the rumors that are going on? But what he also is saying, should a man like me go against God's law to save myself? I believe Nehemiah knew a little something in Romans 8:31. If God be for us, who can be against us? And look at verse 12. Then I perceived that God had not sent him at all. Here it is again. And that third point I failed to mention earlier was they will try to lead you astray by false prophets. The enemy will try to lead you astray by false prophets. Then I perceived that God had not sent him at all. You know, we got a whole lot of folks that got the title, but they don't have the anointing. And they don't have the Spirit. Then I perceived that God had not sent him at all. But he had pronounced this prophecy against me because Tobiah and Sanballat had hired him. Anyone who proposes a solution that is contrary to God's law or God's word is a false prophet. Matthew 24, Jesus even talks about that there will be false prophets. There will be wars and rumors of war. Not everybody who wears a cloak or a collar is somebody that you can trust. They just might have been sent to you by the enemy. Verse 13, for this reason he was hired, that I should be afraid and act that way and sin. What would be the sin? The sin would be to go into that part of the temple. So that they might have cause for an evil report, that they might reproach me. You see, if he had gone in and gone into that inner temple, people would have questioned his reverence for God. Because they would have said, he knows better than that. He was raised better than that. He knows that he ought not to be doing that in God's house. Also, people would question his courage. What? He doesn't have faith now? He had faith all along during the building process. Now when we get to the end, he no longer has faith. And then people would hear the evil report against him. Then suddenly, the hero would no longer be the hero, but he would be the heel. Amen?
Yes.
So see, he knew that he had a discerning spirit. I perceive that God had not sent him at all, but he pronounced this prophecy against me because Tobiah and Sanballat had hired him. For this reason he was hired, that I should be afraid and act that way and sin, so that they might have cause for an evil report, that they might reproach me. And then in verse 14, my God, he turns to God. That's the thing we have to do when the enemy is knocking on our door. My God, remember Tobiah and Sanballat according to their works, and the prophetess Noadiah and the rest of the prophets who would have me be afraid. In any great works, the enemy knows that if it stops the leader, it's a good chance that the prophet will fail. When you see a snake, you don't stomp on the tail. Amen?
Yeah.
You go for the head.
Yeah.
You don't chop off the tail, because the head will still come after you.
Yeah.
If you chop up the head, you will just see a little slender body just wiggling on the grass, but it can't do you any harm anymore because the head is separated. That's what the enemy knows.
Yeah.
If you get the head, the body might fall apart. However, we need to be like Nehemiah and trust God and continue to work towards the goal, work towards the mission, work towards the job that he has for us. And because he was persistent, and because he ignored the enemy, and because the people were not afraid, because the leader was not afraid, in verse 15, so the wall was finished. The wall was finished. The wall was finished. How many projects are not completed because the enemy comes against us? How many projects are started with good intention, but someone else gets in our ear? Someone else lures us away from our safety zone. They lie on us. They have false charges against us. How many succumb to the enemy and don't complete what God has laid before them because the enemy has done its job?
Yeah. Yeah.
My brothers and sisters, we have to realize that the enemy is still working. The enemy is still alive. Amen? The enemy is still using false prophets. They will tell you that you're too sinful to be saved. They will tell you you don't have the anointing. They will tell you that you cannot do the work. But I'm so thankful that we serve a God that sent his own son to die for us, to shed his blood for us, so that no matter how bad we've been, we can ignore the enemy and we can say, yes, I am a child of God. What I used to be is of no consequence because I'm covered by the blood. I have confessed my sinfulness. I have believed that Jesus Christ is Lord. I have turned away from my wicked ways. So therefore, I am a child of God. So Satan, you can keep on trying to make me feel like I'm nothing. You can keep on sending situations in my path that will be stumbling blocks. But through the power of God, they can be stepping stones. Are you allowing something else to come between you and what God has for you? Remember Nehemiah. Remember that they will try to take you away from your safety zone. Remember that they will bring false charges up against you. Remember that they will have false prophets trying to tell you that what is wrong is right and what is right is wrong. Keep on doing what you're doing. You have a connection with God. We can go to the Father. He can help us discern. Like Nehemiah, I perceive that they were trying to do me harm. We are still in the perceiving business. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. As long as we stay with God, we will be able to stay on task. We might run into stumbling blocks. We will run into stumbling blocks, but stay with the Lord, and the job will be completed, and the enemy will be defeated. God bless you. God bless you. Characteristics of the enemy. Characteristics of the enemy. Amen. God bless you.